verses together. You can be seated. I'm so glad you're back tonight. I was just real concerned about whether you'd come hear me again. Amen. After hearing your preacher just build me up a moment ago, I'm going to go home and write a book about myself. And I've never been honored like that very often, but I love your preacher. The more I've been with him and with his wife, we love them. I count them friends already, and I mean that. He's a lot smarter than I am. I'll never forget younger, 15 years younger. When my son went to Wills Point and took the church after I left, took the church in Fort Worth, they called him a month later. And I went back to him, my key deacon. One of the deacons, Percy Benner, was brother Dr. Howell's deacon at Miller Road, who was handed the sack of groceries. Y'all remember that story? He was one of them. Him and Nancy Benner were our best soul winners there in East Texas. And I went back one time, and they said, preacher said, Jeremy, much better preacher than you are. And then number two, he said he's way beyond his years in experience and knowledge. And you know what I said? In my breath, without speaking out, I said, baloney. Yeah. But I was so very proud. And they were so very proud. This makes a daddy and a mama kind of proud of it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there, this is a sad part right here. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now we know here from this verse, there's at least two books. I think one of them is the Bible. Amen. And the other one could be a different things, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But there's at least two. I believe there's more. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man. Now, when it said man, you know the universal term, man, woman, boy, or girl, all right? According to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, listen to me, child of God. You ought to get to a place in your life where that moves you. That moves you to be concerned about others. Because there's going to be a great number, I believe billions, that are going to fall off, that some have already gone to hell, others are going to hell. And if we don't get out and tell people about Jesus Christ in our own neighborhoods, in our own city, yes, around the world, I believe in Jerusalem, I believe in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, and I believe we're supposed to try to reach all of them at the same time, through missions, if you will. But we got to be a part of that. So tonight what I want to talk about, however, is those books. I want to talk about God's library. Did you realize God has a library in heaven? And I don't know how extensive it is, but just taking the Word of God, and we don't have everything. I mean, the Bible talks about Jesus, who were to record everything. We don't have room enough to, the world doesn't have room enough to retain it all there in John's Gospel. And so there's so much more that you and I don't have. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad, because I'm having a lot of trouble just retaining what's already in the 66 books. Amen? So I want you to be blessed tonight. And I want you to listen carefully. Give me a little license. I'll stay within truth, but give me a little license to share with you what God has given to me. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity again. What a good church. Dear God, what a good spirit in this church. And Lord, that comes from leadership too. It comes from the leadership of this pastor, his wife and family, and those Christians and people of God that you've gathered here at Gospel Line. And Lord, I have no doubt, you, Terry, you're coming. We're going to hear great and mighty things that you're going to do here. And I pray, God, that you just continue during this week and after we leave. And Lord, as we get close to the holidays and things that are coming up, the election, and God, you're in control. Help us to vote properly, etc. And then, Lord God, just really, would you do a great work within the body of Christ here? We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name, and for His sake only we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God's library. In my office is my library, written by many different authors over short and long periods of time. Some are instructional books. Some are history books. Others are for learning how to organize and plan and promote the gospel and the building, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the building of the local church. Some are humorous in nature. Some are serious. Most of the books that I have in my library are spiritual in nature. Some are secular, some are biographies and other things that assist in my life and help me and encourage me. We have notebooks of written and typed notes from 23 years of Bible college teaching over the years. Notebooks for teaching doctrine and the truth of God's Word. Throughout the 37 years that the Lord has allowed us to stay in the ministry, we've even had an unfinished task of writing a book on Baptist distinctives and Baptist doctrine from an independent Baptist, which I believe is Bible-believing Bible Baptist folks. I've given a lot of my books in my library to my sons who took up pastorates in Texas there, and to my younger son who's on staff at another church, and to other friends and graduates in Bible college and young men who have gone out that we know to start churches and so forth, and still have a lot of books left. But all of these volumes of books that I have and those I've given away, listen to me careful, there is a book above all books. That book is the Word of God that you hold in your lap or your hand tonight, written without error. It was written by 40 different authors. Some believe over a period of 1,600. I believe over a period of 1,500. You can take whatever. We'll not be dogmatic on that. There was one author, and it was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all one. They work together. Amen. In John chapter 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And you know this, but and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word, or truth, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, listen, full of grace and truth. You may well have heard this in your Christian life before from somebody, but I want to quote it here tonight, read it to you. The Bible, or what I read about my Bible years ago as a young preacher still lives today. Though my cover may be worn and some of my pages torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look into this precious book, as my eyes scan its pages, I see many tokens of love from the Father above, who is most nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise that I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. Folks, this old book outlives, outlooks, outlasts, outlifts, outreaches, and outranks any other book in the world that we know of. This book is faith-producing. It is eye-opening, it's heart-changing, and it's hope-awakening. Someone has said over and over that this book never needs to be rewritten, and we've heard this before, but it just needs to be reread and reread and reread. We've been taught that we should pass it on to the next generation. God said in the Psalms of David, I love this, He said, I have magnified my word above my name. That's how important the book of God is to him. The Bible tells Second Timothy 2:15 that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and then obeying the contents thereof. We have 66 books in this canon of Scripture that we hold in our laps and our hands tonight, but there are other books never recorded in whole for our lives. We find other books mentioned throughout Scripture that God chose not to include in Holy Script. You know, the Catholics have a Bible, and they do well for a while until they get to the back of B's and S and E's and all the other groups in the back of the Bible that they have. And those are not Holy Script. What you have tonight is all there is. 1 Chronicles 29:29 says this, Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer. Now there is 1 and 2 Samuel. We've read that in the Old Testament on our own many times. And when we think about that, there's others. In the same area of Scripture, there is the book of Nathan the prophet. It's mentioned as the book of Nathan. And then the book of Gad the seer. And somebody said, well, how do you know they're books? Well, I don't know about you, but I looked up definition book. Book's a book. Okay? And when we call these other books in the Bible the books of God, well, there are other books that were written that were not contained in here. And as I said, I'm kind of glad because I'm having a hard time keeping up with what's already there. Then there's the book of Shemaiah and others that God did not include in our Bible. In Joshua chapter 10 and verse 13, we read of the sun standing still. You remember that story? The sun standing still, and it says it was written in the book of Jasher. That's amazing, isn't it? Kind of like to know what else was written in that book, but it wasn't given to us. And if you'll turn now to the book of Jude, I want to begin there and move on through. Jude, right there, you know where it's at, right before Revelation if you don't. In the book of Jude, verse 14 and 15, this has always been powerful for me. How many of you understand they had some in-the-face preachers even in the Old Testament? I love it. Look at verse 14, book of Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all, listen, that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. That's pretty strong preaching. That they've ungodly committed in all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having immense persons in admiration because of advantage. Look up here. I don't know what the rest of the book that Enoch wrote, what else was in it, but Enoch had prophesied. There were some things that you didn't read in the life of Enoch back then, or even in the book of Hebrews. But here you read it. You find it here in the book of Jude that there were some things that God allowed Enoch to write down. And again, I was strong preaching like that. I'd like to have known the rest of it. But it's strong. And he had his eyes on the future as he wrote this book, even in that day. In light of all that, there are some other specific books that I want to talk to you about tonight. Because they affect your life and my life. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This may not sound important right off at first, but it will by the time we get through. Psalm 139, I call it the chapter of creation, and you can call it whatever, but I want to talk about the book of creation. And by the way, the book of creation began, as we all know, in Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 2, and then Genesis chapter 3, with what God created, messing up everything. And that's why that sin had passed upon all men, because of that first couple that was created. You know, God created perfect bodies in that day. But he gave them a choice. Character was the issue in that day as it is in our day. There's a book of creation, Psalm 139, verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. And if we sit down and we discuss this tonight, you and I can't understand it either. We don't understand why God would create Adam and Eve and they sinned like they did. If it had been me, I'd have went zit, zit, and it would have been over with. But God killed the first animal sacrifice to cover their sin, if you will. And I believe it to be the Lamb. You can believe whatever it is you want to believe, but I believe it to be the Lamb, being the Lamb of God throughout Scripture. But he saved them, if you will, from ultimate death at that time, even though they did die, because death passed upon all men. Amen? Isn't that a pretty story? But understand it. Isaiah uses words about creation, and we'll get to that in a moment. Look at verse 14 in Psalm 139 there. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy... What's that next word? Nowhere in the Scripture do you find this, but right here, in this setting. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance or fashion when as yet there was none of them. Look up here. I know you and I know me. There's some things about our body we don't like. I hate being short. I just do. I don't like being short. Never have liked. I've stretched. I've taken growth pills. I like being slender, and I've never been slender a day in my life. I've always been stocky. Skinny when I got back in Vietnam, but after that, weight went on pretty quick, amen. Some of you got a big nose like mine, plastered all over your face, amen. Some of you ladies, you got hair you don't like. It never lays right. It doesn't set well. Some of you men, you can't grow hair. I'm losing mine. You know, the Bible said God knows the hair on every man's head. He's having trouble with mine, amen. And some of you, he's quit having trouble with. But now look up here, listen to me. Some of you don't like the way your knees look. You got a toe that's that big. It's usually the big toe. By the way, they talk about them comely parts there when they're talking about the members of the local church and the members of the body. Some of us got things we don't like. And let me tell you how important that is. Teenager, listen to me. Teenagers are the worst. I preached not this, but something along this line. Teenagers need to understand God created you for who you are. He created you on how you look, what kind of size feet you got, etc., etc., etc. And I can't preach all that here tonight. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And God fashioned every single member of your body in heaven before it ever became a part in your mother's womb. And then it began to form. Hello? Think about that. And you got to be right with that in order for you to be right with God. Because God created you as you. There's so many people today trying to be somebody. You know, I don't know of anybody I care to be like. I really don't. If anybody is my dad and he's gone. We all need to be desirous to be like our Lord, our Heavenly Father. And the things that He has done for us in our life, we ought to in turn honor Him with our lives, our bodies. Genesis 1:27, I don't want you to turn there, but listen to this. God created man in His own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created He them. And God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. And the Bible said man became a living soul. I'm talking about everything that was formed in your mother's womb, even the very breath you took when you came out of your mother's womb, it was all God. Now that's important. Now listen to me carefully. God created Adam and Eve, and I know you've heard it before. He didn't create Adam and Steve, and I just thought that I'd throw that in tonight because of everything else we're going through today. And teenager, don't you let this stinking world affect you or influence you. There is no transgender. There is no gay. This is all concocted on their behalf because they know not our God. They don't know Christ as their Savior. They were not born that way. God doesn't born transgenders. Amen. God borns male and female, men and women.
Amen.
And you need to quit living. Well, we ought to be more compassionate. I am. They ought to get saved and get right and be normal.
Amen.
This idea that we ought to be tolerant and inclusive is not God.
That's right.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 declares this, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." Isn't it amazing that we get messed up on all that? We're worried about killing deer and we're worried about... I had somebody the other day said, I just can't kill deer anymore. And I said, well, tell me where they are.
Yeah.
I'll help you out, amen.
Yeah.
Somebody said, you would kill one of them things? Sure, I don't kill if I don't eat. I don't dove hunt. I don't dove. Not that it's a heavenly bird. I don't have any problem with that. I just don't eat it. I hate dove. I hate dog. I don't kill squirrel. I hate squirrel meat. But you give me some quail and they're coming down. By the way, God gave that to the Jew. And they had to kill them to eat. They didn't eat them alive. Amen.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, every member of your body that you are born with or born without is recorded in the book of creation. Exodus 4, you got to see this. Hear me well. Exodus chapter 4 is powerful. Exodus 4, verse number 10. For sake of time, you remember when Moses had an excuse for not going and speaking out for God, and he had that, he was slow of tongue and slow of speech. Look at verse 10. Exodus chapter 4, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since that thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." By the way, and I'll say this in a moment, but we all have excuses on why we don't go. why we don't serve God, why we don't get involved, why we don't read our Bible, why we don't, when we ought to try to find answers for why we don't. And listen to what happens here. Powerful. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Boy, isn't that sobering. Let me remind you who created you. Let me remind you who made your mouth. And so it is a little slow. Look here. Watch. Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Isn't that powerful? Look up here. You realize God allows some to be born blind? You realize God allows some to be born with one limb missing or some other problem? Are y'all listening? For what? Somewhere along the line, He did that it might bring honor and glory to Him. That's why He let Lazarus die. He could have sent word ahead. In fact, I believe He could have spoken the word and Lazarus would have lived. But He let him die so that why? That He could come and raise him from the dead and bring honor and glory to the Father and to Himself and speak forward of His resurrection and our resurrection. I know you don't like to believe that God would allow a little boy to be crippled when he's born. That's hard to take, is it not? Or a little girl, or a baby to be stillborn. I don't know. I can't understand it all. But if we believe in a God that is a God of creation, God created them in that manner for His glory. And we got to come to an agreement on that in our lives, and you'll understand in just a moment. So, when you and I try to find an excuse not to honor God in our body that He gave us, be reminded that God can use anyone who is willing and obedient. By the way, did He use Moses? Remember when He told Aaron would be your spokesperson? You remember that? Everybody remember that? Well, I don't know about you, but if you read the Bible like I do, Aaron, he couldn't get a word in edgewise. Moses never shut up. Hello, read your Bible. Very little did Aaron speak, and Moses spoke up. And what'd he do? Well, he delivered about 3 or 4 million Jews out of Egypt. Amen? Why? Because he got over that thing that I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. We need to get over that, Christians. God created you to be able to do it. Well, I got some shortcuts. So do I. I'm short, I'm 65, I'm fat. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to keep me going. Amen. And it ought to keep you going. Amen. Well, I'm tired. We're all tired. Because staying up all night watching TV, you won't be so tired. Now, I've had something come to me after. I never watched TV. And I said, all right, well, whatever you do. Well, I'll go to bed. Well, fine. Well, quit being tired. You sleep too much. Whatever. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Turn there quickly. This is a good book. Book creation is a good book. I'm glad to learn some things about myself. Now I know why God used me and use anything. Look here at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. The Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody remembers that scripture, don't we? That everyone may receive the things that are done in his spirit. Is that what it says? Done in his what? In his or her body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. God expects us to be doing. He expects us to live with the body that he gave us, to bring honor and glory to his name, to accomplish something for the glory of God, and we do that through the local church that we belong to. I'm glad God chose to use me. How about you?
Amen.
Are you being used? You can't be used if you're not usable. And if you're not usable, it's because we've allowed sin to remain in our life on some level. And we feel like we're not going to measure up. Get rid of sin. Your sin's under the blood. Just confess your sin.
Amen.
We confess our sin. He's faithful and just forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your sin's under the blood.
Amen.
That don't give you a license to go out and sin, but it's there. God holds you and I accountable in our lives and in the body that He created on each one of us to honor and glorify Him all the time. No excuses. God knows our limits, but God goes beyond our limits.
Yes.
God's able to take our shortcomings, if you will, or our limits, if you will, and He gets in on us. Kind of like the people who gave there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They gave willingly and they gave beyond their power. Do you understand that when they willingly gave of themselves, God got in on the beyond? And God got it on the beyond, and He was able to bring that offering up beyond their power while they lived in poverty. You talk about somebody who had excuses. They lived in poverty.
If anybody shouldn't give, it should be those in poverty. Yet they begged the Apostle Paul to take their offering. Why? Because they knew if they did what God said, God would bless them. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know I want God's blessings. I need God's blessings. I need God's favor in my life. I need it in our marriage, in our home. I need His favor paying my bills. How about you? I need His favor in my health. With God, an obedient child of God, listen to me, there's no limit to what God can do through you who are surrendered to Him. There's a book of creation. I don't know about you, but after I found that book, I feel better about myself. God created me like I am, so get over it. You don't like short, stocky people? Get over it. I don't like tall, skinny people. I don't like you guys that don't have reseedings in your hair. I'm hoping one day when you get older, you'll get just like this. But if you don't, God created you for who you are. Somebody said, well, I can't speak much, preacher. I'm real afraid of everybody. I just can't speak. You know what's amazing to me? You go out to Walmart, you can speak your, you can talk your head off. The thing is, we choose not to do it. We make up excuses. And that's exactly what Moses did. And so many others have done that. But Moses had a lesson on creation, didn't he? Moses found out, I made you just like you are, just like I did the deaf, the blind, the dumb, the cripple, if you will. We have a lady in our church, and a lot of churches have them where they teach sign language. I don't know the terminology, DEX, whatever it is. But anyhow, sign language. She's down here, and I mean, she's going like this. A young lady that we know, we've been trying, my wife's been trying to help, I should say, for a long period of time, et cetera, et cetera, that she's learning it now. You know what that's for? It's for people that can't what? Help me here. You can't hear. Some of them can't speak. You can call it deaf and dumb. I think that's unkind, but the Lord uses the terminology. But they want to know Christ too, and they have not let those limits keep them from knowing Christ. And you had others who cared enough to go beyond their limits and learn how to communicate with them, and now they can be born again too. Kind of like the young man Gary Binion. He couldn't read and write, but he could hear truth. And what did he do? He got saved. He started working on the bus with the bus people. He didn't do much. He was just riding it. He rode it anyways. So he thought it was fun helping the people in and up on the bus and off the bus. So there's a book of creation. Secondly, there's a book of remembrance. Now don't get upset and worried here too hard. Turn to the book of Malachi. That's usually a scary book for some. There's a book of remembrance. You understand God never forgets anything except your sin and mine when repented of and placed under the blood of Jesus. Buried in the depths of the sea, far as the east. Y'all remember those scriptures? I mean, He doesn't remember our sin. Aren't you glad? Amen. I'm so glad. I'm telling you, I've been somewhat of a good guy after I got saved, but before that, I'm telling you, I was the devil's prodigal. I mean, in and out. But hear me now. I've been the Lord's creation. And when I got saved, I became His new creation. Oh, that's good. I like that. Watch this now. Malachi. I guess I ought to get over there, Ben, as I asked you to. Amen. When I was thinking about this message, there's some stuff that's going to be very practical. But I had to start off in this manner, and I hope you'll see it as I see it, as the Lord sees it here. Malachi. And look at it with me now. Chapter 3. I'm just going to begin by one verse here, and we'll come back and read others. Look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before Him. How many of you believe your Bible now? Say amen. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Now, I don't know about you. It's amazing to me that God mentions this book of remembrance in the book and chapter that deals with our tithes and offerings. You know, God is a God of accountability, is He not? Nowhere else in Scripture is this book mentioned specifically. Yet it is alluded to over and over in the Scripture about accountability. About you and I being accountable to God. And God does hold us accountable. I think what's amazing to me is that God, watch it now, go back and look at it. And the Bible said, then they that feared the Lord spake all one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him. Now, I don't know who's doing the writing. May have been an angel. I don't know. But it was being recorded right there before him. Several years ago, I had the privilege of preaching in an African-American church, black church in my community in East Texas. They asked me to come down and preach and then wanted me to come back to a revival. That never did happen. But anyhow, they asked me to come preach. I come preach. And it's amazing because they had a choir. It was four women. Well, four women. Anyways, huge choir. And they sang, listen to me, they outdid my choir, and I had, 20 at that time, 25 in the choir. I mean, they were good. And they dressed in solid white. I mean, it was great. But the preacher took the offering. And he took the offering. When he took the offering, he had his deacons come up. He said, all right, it's time to take the offering. And they stood right here. Not like this. They turned around and stood like it, and they prayed. And the preacher standing up, he said, come on, bring your offerings on up, get your tithes and offerings in. They had to get up out of their pew and bring their own tithe and offering up here, stick it in the plate. That wasn't bad enough. He stood up here and said, Brother, whoever, Smith, Brother Smith, say you didn't bring your tithe and offerings up here today. I'm going, I like this. He took the bulletin from last week, or this week, from last week. They put the people that did not tithe in the bulletin. And he stood up there and he read those from last week that didn't tithe. And I'm going, oh, and I'm fixing to have to preach. You said, did that happen? It happened. And I thought to myself, I got back to church, I said, we changed our offering up a little bit. My wife and I were driving down the highway. I don't even remember where we were now, but as I live and breathe, you can ask her. We drove by and there's this huge church. And on the very side of the building, the name of the church is the Tithing Church. Do you not think they know? I mean, you join that church better. You better be a tither. Do you know God holds us accountable? Look here, if you will, to Malachi, and look down there where we always go, that we always get upset about, verse 8. Well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein we robbed thee in tithes and offerings. Is that in y'all's King James Bible? Amen. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole name. Now look up here. I'm not going to preach on this lot tonight. I'm going to move on. But listen to me. If you believe the Bible, you can. It's not. You've heard it said. It's not Furs Cafeteria. You may not have Furs up here, but you got other buffet. It's not. You take what's there. Period. You don't get to choose.
That's right. Amen. That's
right. And the Bible said, if you don't tithe, there's a curse on your life.
Yes,
well, I haven't seen a curse. Hang on, yours is coming.
Yes, sir.
You know what's killed most of them tithing preacher? Covetousness. I don't have time to get into all this, but you listen to me. We got credit cards run to the zilt. We got young couples coming into counsel with me when I was pastor and said, Rachel, it's so bad and we just can't do this. And I get to talk to them and they want my help. Financial counsel. And I said, well, are y'all tithe? We can't tithe. How can we tithe? I mean, we can't even pay the bills of the electric. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I can't help you. I said, the only way I can help you is if you start tithing, because if you're not tithing, there's a curse on your life.
Yes.
It got quiet in here again. It always does when you talk about that. But hang on, have we not talked about truth this week?
Yes, sir.
This is truth. And it's not there to be negative. It's not there to attack you. It's there for you to learn and understand that if you're not tithing, you cannot be right with God in any other area. You can go soul winning, you can go work the bus, you can drive the bus, you can come to church faithfully, and that's great. But you can't be right with God if you steal His tithes and His offerings. That's what happened in the garden. In the garden, He said, that's my tree, don't touch it. Everything else is yours.
Yes,
you can blame it on the woman if you want to. My Bible says she turned after she took the fruit, she turned and gave it to her husband with her.
Yes.
You know what I think was going on? Like most men, Adam was right behind Eve going, go ahead. Try it. He figured if she dies, he ain't touching it. But she took a bite and turned and gave to him, and they both were sentenced to death.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but that's enough to tell me I better not be taking what don't belong to me in the first place.
Yes.
I'm kind of glad God gives me 90% to work with.
Amen.
Mormons pay 20%. Did you know that? In order to be a good Mormon and on there and belong to the, whatever they call it, the wards or whatever they have, they don't even call them local churches, belong to there, they have to give 20% of their income. Now go join the Mormon church. And not very many Baptists in Mormon churches, let me put it that way. Amen. But now listen to me, hear me well. I like the rest of it. It gets gooder here. Watch, verse 10, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. That's the house of God, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said, well, this is not a storehouse church. I'll name it Storehouse Baptist Church if you want me to. Bring you all tithes in the storehouse. There might be meat in my house. Prove me now here with, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many believe the Bible? You understand that? Hear me well. I said it, I think, this week. I say it usually when I'm out, just to prove a point. We're living on 50%. I'm talking about half of what I made when I left the pastorate is what we're living on a monthly basis right now. Listen to me. How's that happening? We never miss our tithe. I'm not talking about me. I'm not building me up. I'm just going to stay right with God here. I'm tithing. I'm giving my offerings. I'm giving to every program they got. Now that envelope's got something going to it. Amen? And you know what happens there? God begins to give. Giving it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together. You remember that? And it says, with the same measure you meet shall be measured back. And it says, shall men give into your bosom. Y'all believe the Bible? All of it? Well, there's a book of remembrance. Take your Bible, go over to Mark chapter 12, I think it is. Amazing. Mark chapter 12. Now don't get mad at me now. Get mad at God. And by the way, I didn't go farther. He says, I'll open the window. He said, I'll also rebuke the adversary for your sake. In other words, he'll keep the devil off your life. Amen. And boy, do we need that. Mark chapter 12. Y'all remember, this is a great story. I love it. I like old people. Look at Mark chapter 12. Look down at verse, because I is one. Look down at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, he's teaching them now, he saith unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You know what that was? You ought to write this down. That is extreme faith right there. Extreme faith. You say, well, she don't measure up. Really? She don't. Well, let me tell you what's happening here in this book of remembrance. The Lord is looking at that widow lady coming down. He watched all them other people come in, but he picked out that little old widow lady didn't have anything. But she came in and gave everything she had. And he made known to the disciples and taught them, and he's teaching us. She had the right spirit. She had the right heart. Hear me now. And besides that, we just read it in the eternal Word of God. You think that's writing it down in the book of remembrance?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Huh?
Yes.
And guess who was looking? Wasn't the pastor. Wasn't the deacons. Wasn't the trustees. It was Jesus. Now, I don't know who's writing down in front of Him, in front of God, in the book of remembrance, but maybe it's Jesus. Whoever it is, they're writing down. By the way, did you know that God looked for your tithe this past Sunday? He looks for it every week or every month. I got some people that were retired and they got a monthly check and they give a monthly tithe and offering, and that's fine. You know, I always try to get them to break it down a week, a budget, you work it that way, but if they had to do it once a month, that was fine too, as long as they were faithful. She was extreme faithful, if you will. She gave all she had. We used to have give it all Sunday. That means plan to give your entire paycheck for that Sunday. Churches have done that in the past. Most churches think the pastor's lost his ever-loving mind. But do we believe that God will bless us if we do things like that? I don't know about you. Sometimes I need a big miracle. Sometimes we thought, well, you know what? Maybe we need to give a little more or give to this project or give to this ministry. Because I need God's giving back to me. And if He wants to give it to me, we get a check once a year. We have, you got to hear this. It's truth. Every year now for the past, 5 years maybe, we get a check for $1,000 at Christmas time from a former member, the Fain family, that sends it to us and just says, we love you and we're thinking of you. Where'd that come from? Well, they love you and thinking of you. No, I love a lot of people that I've sent them $1,000. Y'all think maybe God has something to do with that?
Yes.
This has happened over and over. I mean, the boots I have on, I was just, well, I had a good pair of boots on, but I walked into the church we was going to eat with the Knight family in from the Calvary Boys Home there in Eufaula, Oklahoma, and we went up there and we ate and then got through, and Brother Knight said that preacher. Anyhow, Jerry McDonald, he says, he wants to buy you a new pair of boots. I said, really? Kick your mothers off, amen. And we went in, he said, you can spend up to $500 to $600. Well, I found the cheap. I found one for $270, and then they gave me a pastoral discount, and because they couldn't find the match to it, I found the match three rolls over, they gave me another discount. Look up here. That sounds all kind of interesting and real weird, but that's how God works. How God works. I don't believe it. I hate begging. God's people are not going to go around begging for bread. If they're right with God, God's going to take care of His own. I shall supply all your need. Remember that? But you got to go back and find out that those who were going to get their entire need supplied were communicating or giving to the Apostle Paul in the ministry there. I like the way God's Word works. Amen. But here's this widow lady and Jesus standing over watching. You know He's watching us. He's watching you. He's watching me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Quickly. Hurry up. Time's running out. Preacher took so much time. Announcements and so forth. Blame it on somebody. Amen. Everybody having a good time? Amen. I know some of you worked all day and I'm trying to finish. Just stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we just talked about it, but just look at a couple verses with me here. And look down, if you will, to verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. More, brethren, we do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, this is a local church now, how that in a great trial, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In other words, here they were, deep poverty, but they had joy in their giving. For to their power, verse 3, I bear record, here it is, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, here it is, this is when they obey, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto the will of God. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. We got to make a decision to give ourselves unto the will of God. And to be honored, to honor Him with our tithe. Look at chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. I asked you yesterday if you love the Lord. And we read scriptures. By the way, I didn't tell you can find that. I love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind. Find it in Deuteronomy 2. Now look up here. If we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, hear me. We're going to give our tithe. I said we're going to give our tithe. We're going to be held accountable and we're going to be accountable unto the Lord. So let me hurry on. We've seen God's book of creation. We've seen God's book of remembrance. Number 3, there is the book of works. Go back to Revelation quickly. Read it with me, Revelation chapter 20. And I have not got time to break down verse number 12 to you in its totality. But I want you to look at it. I saw the dead small and great stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Listen to me. Not their earthly riches or things of that. Nothing like that. It's what we did. By the way, we went a soul to Christ. Guess what? That's treasure in heaven. We tithe and obey God and give our offerings and do the work of God. That's treasure in heaven.
Yes.
Are you listening? You're not carrying. You're not going to hook a U-Haul trailer behind you and carry your most prized possession. It ain't happening. All them people down there in Louisiana, our good friends of Buchanan's and their son, lost their homes. 3/4 of the membership there of Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one of the most famous independent Baptist churches in the country. More than 3/4 of their membership lost everything they had. They're having to rebuild. Are y'all listening? and their church down there. These are people that have been honoring God for the most part. You never know when things like that are going to happen. I would like to know that I'm right with God if anything like that did happen, because I believe God's taken care of them. Over $100,000 has come in to help them with that from different churches and people down there in that area. Why? Well, because of their faithfulness for the most part. But there's a book of works that we need to be concerned about. Accountability to God. Seen in our giving, seen in our serving Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at this together. And there are several scriptures we can go to, but I tried to pick those that are more thorough and that we can get through in a given evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. These are not new. You know them. I like repetitiveness. I think that repetitiveness is a great teacher. Look at verse number 4, 1 Corinthians 3. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministered by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He said, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Remember we talked about, you don't save anybody, you go plant the seed, you go water the seed, you go soul winning, you pray, God gives the increase. So then, verse 7, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that watereth, are one. That's us, we're all one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. By the way, you're not going to be blessed off of what somebody else does in the church. You'll be blessed off your own labor. Watch this now, for we are labor together with... look at our CEO here. God. I don't know about you. I know what D.L. Moody told his two of his sons while he was dying. He told him, if you're going to make plans, make your plans big. Because God was their partner. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's the problem we have today. We don't expect God to do things anymore. We don't anticipate the miracles of God and expect God to perform miracles on His church's behalf and His people's behalf. He's still a miracle-working God. He wants to bless. Well, now watch this. For we are laboring together with God, your God's husband, your God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay, verse 11, than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, those things that last, or wood, hay, and stubble, those things that are easily burned up, every man's work, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, God, when you stand before God one day, it's going to be your work made manifest in front of Him. He'll reveal it. You're not going to have any excuses. You're not going to be able to say, I meant to, I should have. We're all guilty of that right now. But He's going to hold us accountable for serving Him. He has written down He has a book of works that He is recording. Not only has He got a book of creation, you record every member of your body, if you will, and what you were going to be in your mother's womb, and et cetera, et cetera. But He's written down a book of remembrance there about your tithes and offerings. And He's written in a book of works what they do. Nothing. Went to church. Well, you know, we ought to go to church. Just like you've been doing. You're so faithful. We ought to go to church. Every service. Unless we're just physically hindered or whatever. We ought to be in church. Ought to take our kids to church like you do here. Ought to do that. But there's so much work to be done, ladies and gentlemen. Your soul winning's coming up Saturday at 10:30? 9:30? 9:30, you come in here, you get together, you pray, maybe have a cup of coffee or whatever you do, maybe a quick challenge, I don't know, but you go out together. You say, well, I just can't. Yes, you can.
Amen.
I had some old folk, and I'm old folk, I had some old folk that couldn't go anymore. Their knees would not allow them to walk door to door. You know what they did? I remember Mrs. Rogers and Mrs. Long. And Mrs. Long buried both their husbands there, great men of God. And you know what they did? They prayed. You could walk in at any time during the soul winning time or get there early, get back early. And they're on their knees praying. We all have an opportunity to serve somewhere. And by the way, we need prayer warriors. C.H. Spurgeon had people underneath when he was preaching, praying the whole time he's preaching. So wonder he had thousands saved. No wonder he filled that tabernacle. If we had people praying, now I'm not telling you to get out of the church service, because what you'd probably do, as most Baptists, go back to the coffee pot. It's kind of hard to go back to the coffee pot and pray. Lord Jesus, would you bless our preacher? Be two or three sips before we get in another prayer. Amen? But most of us are physically able. Even if you did nothing else, our good friend Dr. Gerald Chadwick in Central Baptist Church in Amarillo, if you go eat with him, you might as well just hang out or help him. Because he's going to cover every vehicle in that parking lot. And he may even wander over to the next one over here at another restaurant. You say, is he showing? No, he's doing. There's a difference. He's real. And the thing about it is, his church is not that big, but he's not going to give up. He's not going to give up because they haven't had 100, 200 people saved over the summer month. He ain't giving up. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to plant. Our responsibility is to water. And it's God's responsibility to give the increase. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe God's going to send who He wants and we don't have to worry about getting them. And so, I don't believe that. I believe we'll go door to door. And as one we just got from Brother Amarillo, their thing was door to door, shore to shore. That's our responsibility. And we're going to be held accountable. There is a book of works and He is recording things in that book. Watch this now. Verse number 13, every man's word shall be made manifest, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed. There it is. By fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Let me stop there. Write this in the margin. That's your attitude. You know, you can be a giver, but the Bible talks about being a, what kind? Cheerful giver. Amen. That doesn't mean you walk in going, but you walk in, you're full of joy because you know God's going to bless it. He's obligated to. But watch this. If any man work abide, verse 14, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to lose that blessedness of standing before the Lord one day and Him saying, well done. I believe with all my heart, preacher, and you're a Bible scholar, I know that, so I may be totally wrong. You tell me later, but from what best I can tell, reading the Scripture and prophecy, tears are not going away till eternity starts. Which means that this great white throne judgment we read about in Revelation chapter 3, Christians, we're going to be around somewhere. God's going to be bringing up the dead in hell and cast them into the lake of fire and we're going to be standing there. And I'm not so sure. I know it's been preached. They can't prove it. It's not a dogmatic thing that you can just get serious and give Scripture on. But what if? Ezekiel says he's going to require the blood. If we don't warn them, require the blood of those souls we don't warn at our own hands. I don't know what all that means other than we're required. But what if we stand one day at the great white throne judgment and God said, you remember the Saturday you were challenged to go soul winning? But you didn't go? I had a man and a woman waiting on you. Look up here, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to help you. And I'm telling you right now, that's how God works. I remember knocking, I can tell you a story, but I won't tell you one. Remember, the old long-haired, blonde-headed boy. And he lived in a trailer by himself. And I remember going out and he visited our church here in Wills Point. I went out and knocked on his door. And as soon as that door opened, he said, I am so glad you're here, preacher. And this was, it just blew my mind. He said, would you come in? I need to talk to you. I came in, we sat, there was a coffee table in front of us. And I laid my Bible down there and we was talking. And in the next 15, 20 minutes, I had the Bible open, showing him the Scripture, and he got born again. What if I decided I'm going to play golf that day? Now, I'm not against golf, okay? But what if I decided something else, and I knew it was time for me to go? I'm one of those, if they visit me on Sunday, I'm visiting them on Monday. Amen. And the reason I do that is that they may come Sunday night here, but go Wednesday night somewhere else. I'm going to get them before somebody else gets them, amen? You ought to think that way.
Yes.
There are people God has out there, preacher, for your church that you can't reach, but they can. You young people, oh my gosh, I am so excited about these younger people. Love you old people, I do. Remember, I is one, I told you that. But you young people have no excuse. None. Well, my knee hurts. Well, work it out. Come on. This lady's got a walker. If you can't get around, borrow her walker. And get around. Their souls dying and going to hell out there. And He's holding me accountable and holding you accountable. That's just the way God's working with us. I don't know about you, but I like gifts. I like rewards. I've been wanting a sack of these books. I've been thinking about going out and getting my own visitor. Amen? I don't know about you, but you ever been where as a little boy and kid growing up and they got birthday presents and you wanted to get into them too? Huh? You're going to be standing in line one day when they hand out the reward and you're going to want what they got and you ain't going to have it. Yours is going to be that wood, hay, and stove and it's going to be burned up because you just thought it wasn't important. You didn't need to do it. I hear that kind of preaching all the time. Well, the reason you hear it all the time is you ain't got it yet. If we ever get it, you know what we're going to be doing? If you ever get that thing on tithes and offerings when the preacher preaches, I'm not talking about full of pride and arrogance, but when the preacher preaches on tithes and offerings, you're going to go, amen, preacher, that's right. If he starts talking about soul winning, and you say, here we go again, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Well, that's what the church is here for. But when you get it, you know what you're going to be saying? Amen, preacher. Preacher will come up and say, you remember little Johnny last week? Got here, he's off the bus route. He got in here, he got saved back in junior church. We baptized. Y'all remember that? You're going to say yes, and you've seen it. I don't know about you, but that ought to fire you up right there. I love kids. I ask God, ask my wife, if God would let me go back and pasture kids and puppy dogs, I'd go back. You say it ain't going to happen. I know. But it'd be kind of neat. Pay the kids, little puppies in there, and say, look here, little puppies. Listen, I've worked with the grouches. I've worked with the grouches and the people that don't like strong preaching. I've worked with all of them. I love them, but I love them kids. Working the Bible is seen as service. It's seen as ministering. Every one of us have been given, listen, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, I always like to read A New Creature in Christ Jesus, read farther down. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's reconcile people unto God through Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed. He not only gave us a ministry without turning there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He not only gave us a ministry of reconciliation, ladies and gentlemen, He gave us the word of reconciliation. We got everything we need but us. If we put us with the ministry and us with the word of reconciliation, we can get people saved because that's the way God planned it to be.
Amen.
That's why, talking about the workers, singing about the workers. You get workers, sooner or later it's going to work because God is obligated to that. Matthew chapter 20, hurry, you're holding me up and I'm wanting to go. Matthew chapter 20. This is good here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, for sake of time, the Bible said, but Jesus called them, His disciples, unto Him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your, what? Minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be. I don't know about you. I don't know that I need to be anybody's chief. But if I want to be seen in God's eyes as a servant, as a minister, as a chief, He said, let him be your servant. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man, we're talking about Jesus now, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and then give His life a ransom for many. Do you know the Lord's still ministering unto us tonight? He's ministering unto us tonight through His Word. He's ministering unto us tonight through the Holy Spirit of God that abides in every child of God here tonight. You know, a preacher doesn't have to be eloquent to get a message across. I've said it before. A preacher can get up and just read the Bible and there ought to be enough in the Holy Spirit of God and the Bible to convict God's people. And I've heard great preachers. In fact, talking about Jeff Owens, one of my favorite. Dr. Hiles. Probably my favorite in years gone by. There's a lot of them. Curtis Hudson. I can go on and on and on. Dr. Lee Robertson. Are y'all listening? But nothing like serving God and being a minister of God to help. Years ago, Miss Debbie Schuper, still a member of my son's church in Wills Point, she called me on Christmas Eve night. And she said, preacher, I just got word my brother's dying. You know, he's the alcoholic and he's dying. He's living in an old run-down motel there at the edge of Dallas. I know it's Christmas Eve, but they say he could die at any moment. Would you go see him and talk to him about his soul? Now, I'm nobody. I want you to consider that for just a moment. Christmas Eve, my family was there coming, the rest of them. What would you have done? You say, well, you're a preacher. No. I have the same flesh you do that battles against things. But that night, I said to my wife, I've got to go. And I got dressed up like a preacher would get dressed up. I didn't go in my blue jeans.
And I went up there and sat down with that man, and he bawled and squalled, and he knew he was dying, and I led him to Christ. I was able to call his sister and let her know. You know, I don't know, but she has been the most faithful member of that church since I left. She has worked the nursery since we left. She's raising her own grandchildren from a troubled son. God got a hold of her. And God, I don't know, maybe that little witness of me going and caring about her brother did it. I don't know. But I want you to know, as I look back now, I sure am glad I went. One day you stand before Christ and be held accountable, you're going to be wishing you'd went. I'm not trying to make you angry or whatever. I'm trying to get you under Holy Ghost conviction through His Word, because He requires it of every single one of us. I got to hurry. I seen that blink in the preacher's eye. There's a book of creation, ladies and gentlemen. There's a book of remembrance. There's a book of works. I'll not elaborate on this. In fact, I won't preach it, but I want you to hear me. There's a book of tribulation found in the Old Testament. And hear me. You don't want to be around here when the tribulation hits. You think it's bad now? I don't know how many times worse it'll be. I could say 100 times worse, and I think that'd be all right. 100 times worse than anything you've ever seen in life will happen during the tribulation period. And only though, hear me now, let me warn some of you. Let me warn some of you. There is no hope. There is no hope. If you go into the tribulation period, you've never trusted Christ, and you will. If you haven't trusted Christ, you're going in there. You go in the tribulation period, you can buy all of Tim LaHaye's DVDs you want to. Left Behind. You can buy all them things you want to, but you're not getting saved. Y'all listen. Take your Bible. I got to show you this. 1 Thessalonians, go with me. And I don't mean to be ugly, ladies and gentlemen, but you have to... 2 Thessalonians, I said first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Watch this in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the church. And then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That'll be at his coming. Shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. We're talking about the Antichrist, the beast, all that. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now watch. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. Are y'all listening? Amen. You're not getting saved. You get saved now. Watch this, verse number 11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie. And that they all might be damned. Everybody see that? Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen to me, and I got one more point. It comes back to our starting scripture. You don't want to go through tribulation, because all you're going to do is go through hell. You've heard all that's going on through ISIS and the cutting off of heads. Anybody remember the fact in the Bible talking about the beheadings? Anybody remember reading that?
Yes, sir.
It's a little more real now, isn't it? Huh? And it'll get worse. It'll be mass populations beheaded and killed. Children, men, women. It doesn't matter. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to be murdered. And in so many ways, it's unreal. And the beheading, yes. I always wondered how that would come to pass, and it's not hard to understand now. And I believe in the age we got now, you may not. This may be too far out, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. We can do it hydraulically. We can do it electrically. We can set up machine. We can do 1,000 at a time, 10,000 at a time if they set it up and just cut people's heads off. Listen, they killed millions of Jews during World War II. You don't think they can't do that now to Christians and Jews again? Are you with me? Last point here. Last point. The book of Tribulation is found in Daniel 12. You can read that on your own. Go back to Revelation 20 and we'll close. A lot of things that the Lord has asked and required of us, and we covered a lot. There's one more book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's an eternal death, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never die. It's where you're eternally dying. You want to die, but never die. And you'll be in torment and pain that you and I cannot even define. You ever been burnt? strike a match and get some of that sulfur or whatever on the end of your finger. You ever got that? I'm telling you, that's the worst pain I have ever felt in my life. Because you can't get it off in a hurry, you know? It just kind of burns into the skin. That's the kind of burning it's going to be forever and ever. How many of you remember the rich man who hollered out of hell wanting to get out and he can't get out? He was in torment, in flames. And you say, how in the world can you speak? I don't know. You let God tell you about that when you get to heaven. But understand this, he's still in hell today. I believe Hitler's in hell today. I believe Saddam Hussein's in hell today. And every one of them, by the way, could have been born again, but they weren't. But there's a Lamb's Book of Life. Look at verse 15 again. Whosoever is not found written, the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Look at Luke chapter 10. I do want to go there. I wasn't going to do it, but I am. Luke chapter 10. I love this scripture. This is from the Lord speaking to His disciples. They had just returned from soul winning and miracles, etc., etc. Look at Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 17. The Lord said, and the 70 returned again with joy. That was 35 couples going. 35, two men in a deal. They had gone out soul winning. And they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But listen to what the Lord said. Notwithstanding in this, all these miracles they've seen, all the souls that were saved, He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life, or in Revelation here, the Book of Life. And one day, you're either in it or you're not. If you're in it, it's written, some say in blood and et cetera. Some people want to get dogmatic about that. I just know my name's in that book.
Yes, sir.
Your name in that book tonight? I'm not talking about as your name on the church membership row. I'm talking about as your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember my testimony this week? I told you I was teaching a high school boys class. I was driving a bus. Bought 45 kids that same night. 45 kids on my bus that night that I got born again in my preacher's office. I was teaching high school boy. I was a youth pastor. Y'all listen? And got born again while a member of a local independent Baptist church. I don't know if you're lost or not, but I know this. If the Lord came back right now, it's too late. Too late. Because you'll understand that some people are missing. And it'll be me, for one. And many of you. But there'll be people sitting in church pews. Where'd our preacher go? We've heard about them aliens for a long time. We've heard about all that stuff going on. We don't know. Oh, you'll know because there have been enough truth preached to you that you're going to say, I can't believe we missed it. Well, maybe there's another chance. No, no, no. You're damned. There's no other chance except right now. Now, I don't know about you, but I heard just in the last 2 days of people. I heard of a 55 and a 53-year-old man and woman, husband and wife, sitting eating, and they got attacked and stabbed, and the guy was so weird that when he stabbed the man on the ground, he was biting his neck, biting his flesh. They watched too much of that Walking Dead on television. Y'all listening? People are being killed in so many different ways now, and it's going to get worse. I hate to tell you that, but it is. We better be ready because it could be us. We could be sitting in a restaurant or down at Walmart. Walmart. If Walmart don't have it, you don't need it. Walmart. I love Walmart. My kind of people are in there, man. I don't have to dress up. Look back up here. Are you saved tonight? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you are saved? And if the Lord came back right now, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than I just did that, are you out of here? Or do you remain here to go through that tribulation period? Maybe that's why you're not accountable. Maybe that's why you don't tithe. Maybe that's why you don't get involved in the work of God. And yet you're searching. If you weren't searching, you wouldn't be in church. So you're searching. Well, let me say, if you're unsaved, quit searching. He's here. He wants to save you just like He did me when I was in church. He wants to save you, and you'll never doubt it again. Or maybe you're a Christian, there's some things missing. You haven't been faithful. You haven't been obedient to the things you know to do, and you've heard over and over and over again. It's time to get right with God. Ladies and gentlemen, in these last days, what we do need is God's presence. What we do need is God's power. What we do need, hear me, is revival. And it's not going to break out to every one of us children of God are right with God, obeying God in all areas. Well, I don't think anybody, listen, if God didn't think a Christian was able to obey in all areas that He asked us, He'd have never asked us, or told us, or commanded us. There's some books that we don't consider, isn't there? And yet we have 66 that's got a whole volume and volumes of truth. And we hear it every week from our preachers. I have a local pastor. And I hear it when I go back. I love to hear my pastor preach and teach and hear truth from him. And I learn new stuff. And I got stuff written in my Bible that I didn't think of. All of us ought to be learning and growing. Every Christian ought to be learning and growing, learning and growing. Until Jesus comes. What about you tonight? Where are you at in your Christian life? God's writing it down. Carl Ugney. Hadn't seen him on soul winning in about 6 months. He put a star by that just so I can remember it. He said, God doesn't need to do that. I know, but I'm playing pitchers up here. Carl Ugney. It's the last time he tied Jesus. Lord, I don't know. It's been so long that I can't even go back. I'll have to get one of the angels to come in and open up the books. 5 years. My, my, my. Y'all got the message yet? God holds us accountable. God created us to be held accountable unto Him. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. I wonder how many in here tonight would say, Preacher, I know that I know that I'm saved. Ain't no doubt about it. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony of that? Preacher, I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. You say, Preacher, God spoke to me tonight. You know, it's between you and God, but God spoke to you somewhere along the line. If not tonight, this week. And you be honest with God and say, that's me. God, you spoke to me. Would you just slip your hand up if God spoke to you? Yeah, look at here. Look here. Amen. I believe others God spoke to. Now listen to me carefully. I don't know what He spoke to you about. Maybe it's things you need to get out of your life. Maybe it's sin. Maybe things you're not doing that you know to be doing. And here's the time to make it right with God so you have a clear conscience. You have the right spirit. Then you hear it tonight and say, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know for sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? And I will. I want to. But I don't want to know, I won't know how to pray unless you lift your hand up and let me know. And I won't point you out. Nobody's going to know me. Nobody looking. You say, Preacher, that's me. I don't know I'm saved. I'm in churches like you were, and I'm not sure I'm saved. Let me pray for you. Would you slip your hand up right now? Anybody like that? Preacher, I don't know that I know I'm saved. Anyone, would you slip your hand up? Anybody? Father in heaven, these are your people. Please have your will and way in their lives tonight. Help them not to put it off, but make the decisions that need to be made in this service. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Everybody's standing. Some have already come. Others need to.